just want to get our teeth into the perek here, the new perek. There's a familiar topic, Hesed Yad. We spoke about it briefly earlier in the Masechta. Now the Mishnah deals with, when we talk about Hesed Yad, who do we go by? When there are two parties involved, by Erechin we explained there were two kinds of Erechin. There's an Erech where the person is being Marech himself, Erech Yalai. Over there there's only one party involved. He's both the Noider and the Nerach, he's the one party. And then you have a Marech. Somebody's Marech, but he's not the Nerach, so he says the Erech of somebody else, he's being Makabel the Erech of somebody else. And that's really what this Perek is dealing with, is how do the responsibilities get split up? How much of the Nerach do we take into account on the Marech? Do we look at the Marech as a totally independent obligation, and therefore we don't take into account the Nerach at all? It's not relevant. And he's not a Gavra, really. He's a Chefza. We look at the Nerach like an object. He has nothing to do with the obligation. Just when we assess how much you obligated yourself, so obviously if the person is 30 days old, is one obligation. If a person is 20 years old, is that obligation. So the obligation changes. But the individual that you are Marech plays no role in the obligation piece. The other way to look, and L'chaim, that's the only way to look at it. Logically, that would be the only way to look at it. Clearly, our Perek will prove that that's not the only way to look at it. The reason why that's not the only way to look at it is because one can possibly say, and this goes back to what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, when you're Mayrich somebody, what you're really doing is giving them Kedusha, just like Pidyon HaBen, as we said. So, in a sense, what you're doing is creating an obligation on the person. It's true that you don't have the ability to really make somebody else obligated to pay a choiv. You don't have such an ability. However, being that you're going to end up paying it, because you're accepting the obligation, so then we could possibly say that what you're really doing is creating an obligation on that individual that you're taking on the responsibility for. Definitely not the simple way, the way you would learn. Simple way you learn is the other individual is just like if you go to a house, and you say, the value of this house I'm giving to Hektish. The house is not a bar chiyuva. The house is just a way of us gauging how much you're obligating yourself to Hektish. So when by Erkoy Alai, it would make sense that that's all you're doing. You go over to an individual, you don't even have to see the individual, you say, the Erech of that person I'm giving. L'choyra, that individual is completely isolated from the obligation. He's just walking around. You happen to be using his Erech as a form of obligation. No question that's the elementary way to learn. But the whole fact that there's a shackle of Italian in our Perek shows it's not simple like that. And especially the way we explained Erechin to begin with, which was that the lumdus of Erechin is not just an evaluation. In fact, we don't use an accurate evaluation of what the person's worth. We use the Erechin of the Torah. And really what it is you're giving the person some form of Kedusha. And that Kedusha then gets redeemed by you paying the Erech. Now I just want to give you one proof to this idea, which I think it has to be that way. It has to be that when you make Erechin, you're being makdish the individual. And I think I mentioned actually this in the beginning of the Masechta. You're not allowed to be makdish on Shabbos. It's also to be makdish on Shabbos. So, halachically, that should limit a person from being able to donate money to tzedakah on Shabbos, which they do all the time. Poiskin tzedakah b'Shabbos, we do it all the time. So this question is actually asked by the Ran. The Ran in Masechta Shabbos asks, how are we allowed to be poisek mois l'tzedakah? How are we allowed to make an appeal? Could be yitzi, that's why sometimes people don't like to give yitzi, they're afraid it's chil Shabbos. So the Ran asked this question. How are you allowed to go ahead and give, it's a makdish in the Shabbos? So the Ran says a very interesting idea. This Ran is found in Masechta Shabbos, the end of Masechta Shabbos. He says that the Isser to be makdish on Shabbos is only where you're giving an object, where you're actually giving an object to Hekdesh. Because that's like a transaction. That's like Mekach u'Memkin. So if I say I'm giving Hekdesh the table, that's a problem. But wherever it's not what he calls a chifetz yedua, I'm not giving any specific object. I'm just saying I'm going to give Hekdesh money. Or like you give tzedakah, I pledge to give money to tzedakah. The Ran says that's okay. That's why the Gemara says you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. And the Gemara says you're not allowed to be makdash on Shabbos. How do we bridge the gap between the two sugyas? The sugya that says you cannot do it is talking about an object. So you can't give any object. That means if you wanted to donate your shas to a shul, according to the Ran, you couldn't do that on Shabbos. If you have a shas that you want to give the shul, say, you know what, I'm giving my shas to the shul, according to the Ran, you can't do that on Shabbos. You can tell the shul, I pledge to pay for a shas, no problem. But to go ahead and give a specific object to Hekdesh, you can't do on Shabbos. Specific amount of money is also good because it's not on any specific, it's not chal on anything. The point of the Ran is in order for it to be Mekach u'Memkin, similar to Mekach u'Memkin, it has to be that something is being transferred. Some specific thing is being transferred. But an obligation that's in Yiddish we call it in the Luft, right? An obligation that's just hanging out there, that's not a problem. So of course, the Shul Tiki Boirim presents a very, very simple question on the Ran. Why is Erechin a problem? It says, you're not allowed to be Marech. The Mishnah says in Bay, you can't be Marech on Shabbos. You're not giving any object. And that's where the Shul Tiki Boirim makes the proclamation that Al Korchach you see that when you're Marech, you are giving an object. He says, you're being Marech, you're giving yourself over to Hekdesh, and then you're redeeming it back from Hekdesh. And that's the reason why it doesn't, you can't do that on Shabbos. So my question to you would be very simple. If we're going to say that when you marach somebody else, then it's an entirely different transaction that's happening, then you should be allowed to do that on Shabbos. You should only not allowed to say Erki Olai on Shabbos. You should be allowed to say Erkoi Olai, because then it's only the money. So it's obvious what I'm saying is that whether you're doing it to yourself or you're doing it to somebody else, it's working with the same lumdus. Which means I have the ability to go ahead and place an obligation, a kedusha on the other person, and I become the one who has to take care of that obligation. But since the obligation is going through that individual, there is a tzad to say that his status will affect what I have to pay. If it's only me, then there's no havamina that if he's an ani, that I should give an erich ani. Because he has no shaykhis. It's me. I'm rich. I have to give the erech that I would have to give normally. He's just being used as a pawn here. He himself is not the erech. But obviously it's not the way it works. The way it works is whether you're being marech yourself or you're being marech somebody else, what you're really doing is you're being makdish that individual. And that's why, and this is what we spoke about by Avodim. Erech Avodim was the same problem. And Eved could obligate himself to give tzedakah. And Eved could say, I'm giving $100,000 to tzedakah. Either Eved doesn't have a penny, because kol mashe kono Eved kono raboy. The aloch is that when you free the Eved, he has to pay his obligation. Eventually, when he becomes a financial entity, when he can make money, he has to fulfill the obligation. But the aloch is, the Rambam says that an Eved can't be marach. Why not? And Eved can't say Erki Olai. Why not? It's very simple. Because when you say Erki Olai, you're giving yourself over. He doesn't own himself. So it's not just a question that he doesn't have money. When he says, I'm obligating myself to give money to Hekdesh, there we only have a practical problem. He doesn't have a bank account. So we tell him, listen, one day you will have a bank account. When you have a bank account, pay. But when he says Erki Olai, he's not in the parish of saying Erki Olai. Because his body doesn't belong to him. He can't be makdish himself because his body is Meshubad L'Adam. That's how the Rambam holds. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. You can debate that. You can debate that because you could say if you say Erki Olai, why is it that you say Erki Olai? You don't own the other guy either. So you can debate this concept. But al kuponim, that's what this Mishnah is coming to say. This Mishnah is coming to say that since both parties are playing a role, it's not like we only have a marach and the nerach is nothing. The nerach is the one who the kedusha is being chal on. The nerach is the one who has to be redeemed. So therefore, maybe we should go by him if he's an oni. That's what the Mishnah comes to say. Hesig yad benoida. The hesig yad goes on the person who's making the neder. Vashonim benido. Obviously, the age goes by the one whose the neder is on. Vayerichin benerach. The erichin goes by the nerach. The ha'erich bizman ha'erich goes by the time of the erichin, which we'll see what exactly that means, what time period that is. We spoke about this, if you remember. Does it mean when you made the neder? Does it mean when the kohen comes to evaluate it? Hesig yad b'neder ketzad. Oni she'erich es oshir, nesin erich oni. If an oni is marich an oshir, he gives the erich of an oni, in spite of the fact that the individual that he was being marich is an oshir, and the obligation is really falling on them, on the Oshir. But since the responsibility to fulfill that obligation is on the Oni, he gives the Erech Oni. For Oshir she'erech es Oni, noisin Erech Oshir. Avul b'korbonos enikein. But by korbonos, it doesn't work like that. Which means that by korbonos, we go by the person who's chay of the korban, not by the person who's making the obligation for the korban. Harei she'omar korbonos shel metzor is alai. A person who accepts upon himself to bring the korbanos of the specific mitzvah, hoye mitzvah oni, maybe korban oni. If the mitzvah is an oni, he brings a korban oni. Oshir, maybe korban oshir. So it goes by the one who he's talking about. Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe comes and he says, Oimer ani apa erichin kein. I hold that erichin is really the same. There is no real svara distinction between erichin and korbanos. It just depends how the obligation was created. So he seems to be refuting what the Chachomim are saying based on what I was saying. Meaning, Rebbe comes and he says, I don't understand what you're talking about. Of course the osher is not going to give the erich of the oni, because the oni is not obligated to give anything. And of course, the oni is not going to give the erech of an osher, because the osher is not mechayev to give anything. The way we were explaining, that's the whole point of the chachamim. The chachamim hold that the obligation is chal through the nerach. That's why there's a havamin. It should be different. It says, "Avul osher sha'omer erki alai," but an osher that said that I'm obligated. Now what does Rebbe mean? What is Rebbe trying to say here? Is Rebbe trying to argue with the Chachamim? Is he trying just to say, qualify what they're saying? It's very unclear. If you look at the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam comes and he states, Hesig yad benoider, mashom rachmono, al pi asher tasig yad anoider. Umasha Omru Ketzad Ubira in Yunarishan. The Koral Amarach Noider, because Lefisha Kane Koriah Kosov. Fisha Unoider Vadai. Then he comes and the Rambam says, Avul Bekorbonos Enerkin. Says the Rambam, Ein Bain Rebbe Vachachomim Machloikas. There is no dispute between Rebbe and the Chachomim. Elo Mivayer Lon. So the Rambam doesn't see in our Mishnah a machloikis. He feels that our Mishnah, there's no machloikis in our Mishnah. And really, the only thing that's going on here is that Rebbe is coming to qualify and explain, when do we say we have an erech? When would it be possible to say that an erech should be like a carbon? And if we set up that kind of a situation, a scenario, where the Erech will be like a carbon, then you'll taka give like a carbon too. That's what Rebbe's trying to create. So according to the Rambam, Rebbe is not arguing with the Chachamim at all. He's not arguing. It does, I think at the very least, it does sound like from the Mishnah, that Rebbe is saying that what the Chachamim are saying is poshut. It's poshut, of course. If you look at Tosfos by us, you'll see that Tosfos has a different view. He brings down Rabbeinu Menachem Meyuni. Tosfos divrei amasul hesig yad benoida. Keitzad oni sherech es osher noisin erech oni. Mipi harav Rabbeinu Menachem Meyuni says, kegoin osher sheomar erki olai. That is an unbelievable chiddush Tosfos. Vishoma oni va'omar ze olai noisin erech oni. Avul kabonai sein ikein. The Ahop Holig Rebbe V'Omar, he argues. Okay? So Tosfos learns very different. This Rabbeinu Menachem learns very different than the Rambam. The Rambam comes and he says, in our Mishnah there's no machlokes. Tanakama holds that you only give the Erech of yourself, of your financial status, where the person that you get, you were Marech, never obligated themselves. If they would have independently been obligating themselves, then of course you would be giving their erech. Okay? In other words, let's look at a scenario like this. Shimon was marech himself. Shimon said, erki alai. Okay? Reuven goes over to Shimon and he says, you know what? Whatever you obligated, I'm doing your obligation. Okay? So Rebbe says in that case, then of course the marech gives the erech of the individual that obligated the Erech to begin with. That's Rebbe's opinion. Seems very logical. Very logical. And Rebbe, in the Mishnah, so according to the Rambam, the Chachamim agreed to Rebbe in that case. And really, what all Rebbe was really doing, he was clarifying, don't think that our Mishnah is telling you that there's a halachic difference between Erechin and Korbanos. There's a Metzias difference between Erechin and Korbanos. By Korbanos, the one who's obligated to bring the carbon is the Metzaira, and therefore you go and bring whatever he would have to bring, because there's a pre-existing obligation. And by Erechin, there's no pre-existing obligation. There was a created obligation, and the created obligation was done by an Osher. So obviously he has to give an Osher obligation. And or there was a created obligation by an Ani. So he gives an Ani obligation. That's the way the Rambam learns. And all Rebbe was coming to say was, Rabbeisai, there's no difference between Erechin and Korbanos. It just depends what the facts are. In fact, if by Erechin, Reuven would have gone over to Shimon, who already had a pre-existing obligation, and he would have taken that pre-existing obligation, so then we wouldn't look at his financial status. We would look at the obligation that exists. There's a pre-existing obligation. So basically, according to the Rambam, what our Mishnah is saying in one sentence is that there's a distinction between a pre-existing obligation and a created obligation. A pre-existing obligation, we keep on looking at the obligation. We don't look at who now is taking the responsibility for that obligation. It's existing. And therefore, if what exists is an oni obligation, that's what gets paid. And if what exists is an usher obligation, that's what gets paid. That's according to the Rambam. That's all our Mishnah is saying. And all Rebbe did was came in to clarify that point. Rebbe came into the Mishnah to say, don't make a mistake to think that there's some kind of inherent chilik in halacha between Erechin and Korbanos. It's the same thing. The only difference is that by Erechin, there's no pre-existing obligation. So we just look at who obligated himself. If you're an Osher, pay an Osher. If you're an Oni, pay an Oni. That's the Rambam. That's what I'm saying. And if you would have a pre-existing obligation, then it would be just like a carbon. So really, carbon and Erechin are just examples of pre-existing versus created obligations. And that's how Rebbe sees it. So what Rebbe did was, according to the Rambam, Rebbe came in to simplify the Mishnah. Don't start getting all mixed up. Let's make it easy for you. You're starting to think about Korbanos, Metzora. Don't think about that. It's very simple. If somebody is rich and they accept upon themselves a new obligation, they have to pay a rich man obligation. If somebody is rich and they're accepting a pre-existing obligation, so they have to pay the pre-existing obligation. Finished. That's simple. It's like you take over a... In modern day time, you have somebody renegotiated a mortgage. He worked it out with the bank. He lowered it from $200,000 to $100,000. And then he couldn't make that payment either. Now somebody comes and buys the mortgage. They don't got to pay the $200,000 because the $200,000 was already lowered to $100,000. They're only taking over a pre-existing $100,000 obligation. That's what Rebbe is saying. So Rebbe is saying is, by Erechin, the reason why you, the usher, don't pay like an ani is not because there's some kind of erech din. It's because you're creating an obligation. And you're an usher. And by a korban, you're not creating an obligation. You're not a mitzvah, you're not chayiv to bring a korban mitzvah. You came in and you're accepting upon yourself a pre-existing obligation. And that pre-existing obligation is an ani obligation. So the fact that you accepted it doesn't manipulate the amount of what it is, because it's already pre-existing and it's final. It's according to the Rambam, it's really very simple. Tosfos over here, Rabbeinu Menachem, doesn't agree. And he holds that when Rebbe came into our Mishnah, he wasn't coming to simplify, he was coming to disagree. The Tanna Kamma holds that you always go by the Marach. Right? You always go by the Marach. Even in a case where the Marach is taking on an obligation that already existed. So in other words, Shimon came and Shimon said, Erki Alai. Okay? And he was a rich man. And he was chayiv to give the full Erechim. And now Reuven, who's an oni, comes and he says, you know, I'm going to take on your obligation. So according to Rabbeinu Menachem, the Tanna Kamma would say he only gives an oni's obligation. Even though there's a pre-existing usher obligation, he only gives an ani obligation. We'll have to get to it. That's what Rebbe is saying. Rebbe is saying, I don't hear that. Rebbe is saying, that doesn't seem logical to me. Logically, if there's a pre-existing obligation, you took upon yourself an obligation, so you should have to do whatever it is. That's Rebbe's fault. Okay. So that's what Rabbeinu Menachem says here. Kegoyin Osher Shomer Erki Alai, Vishoma Oni. So this is after the obligation was already made. The Oni heard it. And the Oni said, Erech Zelai. Or really, the Shita Mukabetzes changes the Lashon here a little bit. But that's really the point. The Shita Mukabetzes adds the words, V'omar Mashomer Zelai. Noisein Erech Oni. Avul Bekorbonis Enikain. V'aho Polig Rebbe. And this is what Rebbe argues. Anyway. And Tosfos says that's what the Mishnah's mashma. I have to say that I think everybody would agree that it does sound like there's some kind of argument in the Mishnah. Rebbe is coming saying, I disagree with this. According to Tosfos, Rebbe is arguing. The problem that we have is, like David is saying, what would be the svara that if somebody comes and he accepts an obligation that's pre-existing, that now the amount of money that was obligated should be manipulated because he's an oni. He's accepting an obligation. The obligation was a rich man's obligation. He accepted. That's it's done. So this is really the main challenge. Once we cross this challenge, then we'll be able to understand many other things in this parable. But this is the main challenge. Okay, so I want to point out, I mean, this again, we're going to have to develop this more next week in Mitzvah Shem. Whenever Reuven accepts upon himself a chiv of Shimon, by kotshim, I'm not talking about everywhere else, by kotshim, what's really happening? Is Reuven nothing more than a cosigner? Just like an Orif. If I go and obligate myself to pay back somebody $1,000, I borrow $1,000 to pay back $1,000, somebody else co-signs the loan. So now he says that if I don't pay the $1,000, he'll pay the $1,000. He's doing nothing more than paying my obligation. That's one way to look at it. And that's definitely, like I said, that's the simple way to look at it. And that seems to be the way Rebbe's view is. That's Rebbe's view. Yeah. I'm taking off him, putting on him. Very similar to the way we explained Adam Zoymim. They're assuming that obligation that was on the other person is being transferred upon them. It's not a new obligation on the Edim Zemimim. It's a transfer. And that's why, based on that, it would not make any sense to say, like Rabbeinu Menachem. The Rambam is simple. There's a pre-existing obligation. You're taking over that obligation. So it's nothing changes. It's whatever obligation it is, it's moving over to you. And now you pay it. That's Rebbe's time. According to the Rambam, that's Rebbe's taina. And Rebbe says, any manipulation is only going to be chal at the time when the obligation is activated. That's too simple. The other way to look at it is that when somebody is machayev themselves to bring the korban for somebody else, they now are not just taking on an obligation, a monetary obligation that exists. They are taking over the neder, the iser v'heter obligation to the level, to the point that they are called now the mevi. They're now called the one that is bringing the carbon. And this has countless chilukim in halacha, in kutchim, which again, we don't have time today, but I want to just give you an idea. Smicha, right? Smicha is an obligation. Certain korbanos require smicha. The Bailam have to do smicha. You can't make a shlich to do smicha, right? However, if you have somebody as mafresh a korban for you, so we'll see there's a beferish a toisvis that there's no problem with the smicha. The guy who brings it does the smicha. Because he's the mevi. The one who decided to bring the korban in your place, he now becomes the mevi of that korban. Rebbe Elazar bar Yaakov in Maseches Menachos is Machadish, Bailim Mifaglim, which means that Rebbe Elazar bar Yaakov holds that just like the Kohen could make the korban into pigul, the owner of the korban, can also make it into pigul. So if while the Kohen is shechting the korban, the owner of the carbon is having a machshava that's wrong, the owner will make it into pigul. That's Rabbi Elazar bar Yaakov. And the question was presented years ago, how do you ever have a mincha soter? The woman, as long as she has any kind of education, she will be mefagel the carbon, so the mincha will become possible, the water doesn't work then. So you took out the whole ability of a mei soita working. All you need is the woman who's already a zayna, right? She's already knocked from the ishut tzidkanius. So she will now have a machsheves pigul. By doing that, she passes the mincha. And now the husband brings the mincha. When she brings the mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, so now the carbon is possible. And if the carbon is possible, the water doesn't work. So everything just falls apart. Oh, so that's the Shiloh. She's clearly the one who's obligated to bring the carbon. Clearly. She's the one who's obligated. So, Rabbi Yosef Engel, to give you an idea what kind of guy he was, he put out a sefer called Gvur Shmoinim. It's a whole big sefer, Gvur Shmoinim. The reason why it's called Gvur Shmoinim is because it has 80 terutzim. 80 terutzim to this kasha. The whole sefer is 80 terutzim to this kasha of how do you have a soy to ever bring him. That's the sefer. So one of his answers is what David is saying. He says, since the owner of the carbon is the husband, he's chayev to pay for it. See, he's the mafresh. He's bringing the carbon on behalf of his wife. He's the one who has the ability to be mefagel. He is considered the mevi of that carbon. He's the one who's bringing the carbon, not the woman. Even though the carbon is on behalf of the woman, right? So she's the baal hakapora, let's call it that. The kapara part of it, she's the bailam, but he's the bailam of the actual carbon, and therefore he's the one that dictates pigul, and he's obviously not going to be mefagel the carbon. He wants to find out. So he's not going to be mefagel the carbon. So you don't have a problem. That's a Yosef Engel's, one of his tools. Now, but that's, so you see, smicha goes by the person who is mafresh the carbon. Pigul, according to Yosef Engel, is by the person who's mafresh the carbon. And then you have endless cases, which we're going to, Mitzvah Shem, go into, to show you that the mevi, the one who's bringing the carbon, he's actually the one, the halacha is that when a carbon is brought for somebody, they have to be standing there. Ein korbono yishaladam nishchat elam kein oymer al gaboy. Who has to stand there? So we'll see, the one who has to stand there is the mevi. Not the one who the carbon is for, but the one who's, So which really means, and like I said, we'll develop this more, when I'm makabel somebody else's carbon, I become now the maybe of that carbon. The other one has the may have the benefits of the kapara, but I become now the maybe. And you can't bring a carbon without a maybe. In fact, when there is no maybe, right, when you don't have a maybe, you can't bring a carbon at all. For instance, the Gemara says in Kedushin, that a woman, if you hold shibud deraisa, if you hold a debt, midaraisa goes on to the yorushim. So the Gemara says on Daf Yud Gimel in Kedushin, that a woman who dies, the yorushim have to bring the carbon oil. She brought a chatas. She was a yoledes. She had a baby. She brought a carbon chatas, but she never brought a carbon oil. So the yorushim have to go then and bring the carbon oil. That's the Gemara. So they ask on the Rambam doesn't paskin in other cases that the yorushim have to bring the carbon of a person who died. This is the only case. A woman who died, she brought her chatas, she didn't bring her oila, the yorushim have to do it. By all other cases, the Rambam doesn't bring it. In Hilchas Chagiga, doesn't bring it. So they all ask this kasha on the Rambam. Mishnah Melech. So one of the answers I gave is very simple. Every carbon needs a mevi. A carbon can't be in isolation. You need somebody who's bringing the carbon, somebody who's obligated to bring the carbon. So by Mukhusar Kapora, there the carbon doesn't need a mevi. You could bring a Mukhusar Kapora for a kid who's a day old, Azov, Ben Yoimai. So you don't need a mevi. So there, we're only dealing with the monetary obligation. So there we say the Yorushim could have a chiyuv to bring the oiler because there's no mevi. You don't need a mevi here. There's only monetary obligation. By all other karbonos, they can't be brought in isolation. They can only be brought if there's a mevi. And if the mevi died, that can't go over to the Yorushim. So therefore, they don't have to do it. That's why we don't, even though there's a din of shibud, shibud is when there's a monetary debt that the father had, the Yorushim take over the monetary debt. But the Yorushim can't take over to b'chiv to bring a karm. Because that's on the person. That's on the maybe. So that's, no carbon is in isolation. So when you have Reuven is chayiv to bring a carbon, the only way for Shimon to bring the carbon is that he now is not only taking on the financial obligation, he's taking on the chiyuv, the mitzvah of the carbon. So when the Torah was mechadish, that Reuven could bring Shimon's carbonos, that has nothing to do with arvus that we have in Kol HaTorah Kula, that Reuven could pay for Shimon's obligation. That means that Reuven is actually taking on the obligation of bringing that carbon. And that's the reason why it could be manipulated, potentially, when you accept a pre-existing obligation, it could be manipulated because you now become obligated to bring it. It's not just a monetary obligation you're accepting upon yourself. And Rabbeinu Menachem holds that holds true by Erechin as well. That when you're going out to accept this other person's Erechin, you're not just taking on the monetary obligation. You're taking on the nether. And it's true. If the Torah would have never been machadish, that Reuven could take on the responsibility of Shimon's korban, we wouldn't say such a thing. We would say all you're doing is paying the money. But since the Torah was machadish, that Reuven could take upon himself Shimon's korban, and the only way to do that is to say that Shimon, that Reuven is also taking on the nether, so now it could absolutely be manipulated, potentially. Because now, Shimon's obligation got, not only Shimon's financial obligation, Shimon's halachic obligation, his nether obligation of bringing this carbon was just now transferred onto another party. And therefore, it could be manipulated. The amount of the money could be manipulated. And that's the olive bays of understanding this sheet and toisis. Because without that, it makes no sense. If the only thing Reuven could do with Shimon is take on a financial burden that he had, then toisis makes no sense. Shimon accepted an obligation. Reuven is walking in. And now Reuven is taking that financial obligation. How could that change? Doesn't make any sense it should change. The Torah says, Shimon is not just taking on the financial obligation. And what I think is the machloikas between the Rambam and Tosfos is whether Erechin is like a korban. Rabbeinu Menachem holds Erechin is like a korban. And just like by a korban, when Reuven takes over Shimon's korban, He's not only taking over the finances of the carbon, he's taking over the nether of the carbon. So too by Erechin, he's also taking over the nether of the Erechin. And because of that, it could be manipulated. It could be manipulated. And therefore, according to Rabbeinu Menachem, according to the Tanakhama, Yitakadu. Rebbe, who says no. Rebbe says, I disagree. And we'll see why Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe disagrees. The Rambam holds no. Erechin is not like a carbon. Erechin is a financial obligation. And therefore, if there's a pre-existing financial obligation, it won't make any difference who's accepting that financial obligation, because it's already pre-existing, and the only thing that they're taking is the financial piece. So you can't manipulate a financial piece that's already a pre-existing obligation.